Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook question and answer podcast ahead of NRL Supercoach round 4. Tim Williams on deck this week to rip and tear into some Supercoach action. A huge weekend of Easter weekend footy coming up. I absolutely love this weekend. For anyone new to this podcast, as always, I jump into the SC Playbook subscriber questions from our WhatsApp group, obviously free to listen to for everyone via the SC Playbook network each week. I drop my updated trade and skipper plan, sit fee starts, all that good stuff. So, lots to get through, bit of work to do this afternoon. So let's get straight into it for round 4. And the first question comes from Lachlan saying, asking, I've still got Jai Arrow. At what point does he become a hold? It's a funny one. You look at it and go, like, why do you still have Arrow? But seriously, with all these mass injuries and all sorts of things going on so far this season, like, I can certainly see why you'd still have ended up with him in your team. I mean, look, I've still got Keenan Palacia, not because I've wanted to, and he was literally coming in week one to be traded for Terrell May, who played in Vegas, because I knew I wanted him so bad, needed someone at a similar price. And as it panned out with all the injuries that have happened and the Titans on the bye, and now Tino injured, I'm like, oh, he's just ended up stealing my team for now. So, funny one. In terms of the question, Jai Arrow, look, even when he comes back, this was almost a season ending. I think it was a rotator cuff injury. So you wonder sort of what minutes he comes back into, when he comes back. I think it was like sort of a minimum 4 to 6 week injury anyway. He's only missed 2 weeks so far. You know, if it was a player with high upside or like worth holding on to, I can see why you'd hold a player that's injured, such as Nathan Cleary, who you know you'll want him when he's back. When he comes back, he could walk back into a 150 score. Is Jai Arrow really worth holding? Like, you hold him and he comes back early. He comes back in 2 weeks or something, and he comes out and he knocks out 45 for you in the front row. I just don't see what that achieves. So, look, if you've got other stuff to deal with this week, you know, all the injuries that have happened, Tino, Piakura, Cleary, all these sorts of things, yeah, look, there's no harm in holding if you want to get rid of people first. But, look, I do think Jio, yeah, is probably a hold. Question from Corey asking the best CT dub this week to replace Cleary. Look, I could go on for 3 weeks talking about the CT dub options, but we did a deep, deep dive, myself, Desi Creek, and the Spire on the SC Playbook podcast on Tuesday night about who our top 4 CT dub targets are. So go and listen to that, mate, because we've covered that ad nauseum. It does tie into Mark Quirra as well as question, though, a bit more specific, which makes it a bit easier with this potty. Hammer or Val Holmes? Great question. Tough question. On that podcast, talking about our rankings, I had Val Holmes as my number one CT dub target to get. Look, I think Hammer, not because I think he's a better Supercoach player, not because I think he's going to score more points than Val this year, but look at these things. Val's got a break-even of 50. He plays the Broncos this week, which should be tough despite the fact they're missing a few players. I look at Hammer, who has a break even of, I think, like 0. Just get it up. Money to be made with Hammer, coming off a 79 and a 94 and then off the bye there. He plays the Titans this week, who have been terrible, into the Tigers at Suncorp. Two great matchups for Hammer. Now, look, I don't think Hammer's going to be a keeper. I started the year with him. I'm so happy with him. I think he's got keeper potential because of his freakish ability. But look, his base isn't overly great at 25. He's very attack reliant, but there's money to be made. If he can score well the next 2 weeks, look, he's making money regardless. But if he can put on some half decent scores like those that he started with, he could be 750K in a flash. So I'm sort of thinking he's probably going to be my ticket to Val Holmes, who, yes, Val's going up in price as well. But look, even if Hammer has one good week now, there's potential, probably hold it for a bit longer, but you can move him to Val at any time. So look, took me a while to get there, but I think Hammer is the play, at least for this week, with the cash. Val, he might not get 50 this week. It is a tough game against the Broncos. Price might not change. Of course, that the lower score from the week prior will drop out of his three-round rolling average, which impacts, obviously, your price movements. So that break-even will drop a fair bit next week unless he goes really poorly against Brisbane. So, yeah, Hammer for me. Question from Owen. Pick two out of Dom Young, Kiraz and Hammer. Oh, God, it's such a tough position this week, CT-Dub. Kiraz and Hammer. I think, like, again, with Dom Young off the back of that 150, a lot of money incoming. He's got a break-even of -5. So I just think his base last year was terrible. His base this year, I mean, it's two games, so it doesn't mean a lot, but 27. The Roosters went on a tear down that edge against South Sydney on the weekend. The thing I look at is, yes, the Roosters look good, but the Knights went bonkers last year, particularly more so the back end of the year, but Dom Young scored a ton of tries and still averaged 63. In no way, shape or form am I saying Dom Young's a bad buy. I think he's a great buy, big money incoming, on the end of a great back line. He could be a keeper. We could be sitting here in a month's time and he's still averaging 100 points. I get that, but look, he started the year with a 50. He had 20 in base in that game. 150 against the Bunnies. From what we've seen, like, even if he continues his try scoring at the Roosters like he did at the Knights, you know, how much is he going to average? So I loved what I saw from Kiraz last week. Doggies vastly improved from their opening rounds. His base power was unbelievable. We've seen it before, early last year before injury. So I like Kiraz as a buy. What's Kiraz's break even at? 31. With the 115 in his rolling average. So I've got Hammer at number one. I think if we're talking about a buy this week, looking at break evens, Dom Young makes more sense because of his negative break even. He's got more money incoming. So look, you could realistically get Dom Young, get a few weeks of cash gen from him and move down to Jacob Kiraz and make a good profit off that. So long term, I prefer Kiraz, hoping he can stay fit and healthy because he's so good. Short term though, Dom Young with that cash is probably the better buy. So yeah, that's the way I'd go. Question from Nick. Do you think running an Appy and Robson combination is viable? Currently have Robson and don't want to miss out on Appy. Worried about the double hooker combo. I do think it's viable because I'm doing the same thing, mate. And I've seen even the Spy was a bit concerned about wasting too much money at hooker. I mean, Reece Robson has been on fire. Absolutely thrilled to have started with him. 28 break even, he's averaging 74 points, doing a wonderful job. And then I look at Appy Coruscant. Most of us have got, you know, Lusick or Levi there. Levi, who there's a bit more cash to be made in him, but, you know, he could easily get 25 this week, no floor on him, no base on him for a hooker anyway. And then Lusick, he's got one more good price rise in him, but if he scores 30-odd without any sort of major attacking stats again this week, his cash generation is pretty well done, at least for the short term. So then I look at Appy Coruscant, and I'm looking at a negative 13 break even. Just look at the facts of it. He's an 80-minute hooker, paid 67 last week, you know, spell with the big blowout scoreline. A big-minute hooker, which is rare in the NRL these days, that there aren't a lot still going 80 minutes. His basing solid, 44 per game. His goal kicking. For the Tigers, who have been really poor in recent years, as we know, not saying they're going to turn a corner this year, but, you know, from the sample size from the Sharkies last week at Leichhardt, it was good signs. So I think best case with Appy is he's a season-long keeper and he can average 75 plus. Realistically, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. The Tigers come back to the pack a little bit. Appy comes back to the pack a little bit. He had some nice attacking stats early on. You know, we get a nice profit on him and he can get sort of 700K, flip him down, probably down to Harry Grant, who I still think will be the best hooker in the game. So look, there's cash generation there. And I think I don't think there's anything wrong with running a Robson and Appy combination, at least going forward in the short term. Question from Tyson Jones. Morning, Timmy. Morning, mate. What a week for Supercoach. Yeah, you are telling me. My trades are Piakura and Cleary to Finu and Hammer. Is it worth using my first boost to go Sully to a Holmes or a Garrick? Thanks, mate. I think it's a great week to boost. If you've used one already, I suspect that next week there's going to be some great buyers as well. Who is there? There's Blaze Talangi deals. If he scores well at 5-8 on Monday, he'll be a great option. And he's bottom dollar and should make a ton of cash with Mitchie Moses out if he can win that 5-8 spot. There is Tommy Talau. If he comes in and plays this week on the left wing for Manly against the Dragons, I just think that's a great spot to be Supercoach-wise. So I think Tommy Talau could be a buy. Someone like Kai Pierce-Paul, who I'm very interested in. I think he's going to be a great buy, break-even of 9 or so. I really want him this week, but I've got other trades and other sort of cash-gen players I want to buy. So I'm looking at waiting a week. I'm happy to do that and cop a 30, 40K price rise. See the impact that Dylan Lucas has if he can come in. He's still on the extended bench for the Knights. Just make sure he does lock down that 80-minute role. There was another one in there as well somewhere who I think is going to be a great buy. I'm sure he'll come up at some stage later in the show. But, yeah, anyway, getting back to it, I can potentially see myself using my first – I'm definitely using my first boost of the year this week. I can see myself doing it again next week if these buys do emerge as expected. So, yeah, to answer your question, going to like a Holmes because he's got the low break. Well, it's not that low, is it? What did I say it was? 50. And then I look at Garrick. His break even is 83. So he's not really, I say he's not really going to make money, but if they come out and put a score on the Dragons, who knows? So, yeah, sorry, as I said, I don't think it's a good week to boost. But for those two players where there's not necessarily going to be money made, probably not worth boosting because you can wait a week on both of them, I think. So, yeah, in those two examples, don't mind holding off on the boost. Apologies if you can hear the noise in the background. You shouldn't be able to. We'll find out in I'm doing some editing at the end. But tree loppers outside. Did the halfback podcast this morning. There was a leaf blower going absolutely ham. Wasn't picked up, thankfully. So, yeah, the world's conspiring against SC Playbook this beautiful Thursday morning. But the loppers have stopped for now, so happy days. Back into it. Question from Joe. Hey, mate, hope the upcoming weekend is nice to you. Something about the Easter weekend. I think it's the good weather, the fact that I'm camping on the coast every year, the footy's great, the weather's good, the water's warm. I love this weekend. So, mate, it'll be a ripper. And likewise, hope it's a ripper for yourself. Best playable options on the bench between Strange, Bostock, Furmore, Levi and Hutchison. Levi, absolutely not. So, look, if I'm ranking them, wasn't exactly specific there, but I like Jack Bostock this week just because of the matchup against the Titans. Obviously going to be very attack-reliant. Hopefully we're not sitting here in a week and he scored 13 points because I do think he's got that in him, but it's a great matchup on that edge. So I like Bostock. I'm actually playing him myself. If there's no David Fifita, Furmore for sure. And look, I probably would play Furmore anyway, but if Fifita comes in, it's just a hard one. If Fifita comes in and plays on the left edge, that takes a lot of attack away from Furmore playing outside, attacking potential, I should say, playing outside foreign. And then you just question, you know, with Cleese Haas there, Furmore, I think he'll still be an 80-minute edge man, but what do his minutes look like? What happens if Fifita's on the bench? So there are a few question marks around Bowie, but let's say Fifita doesn't come in, I would definitely play Furmore. I'd actually play Furmore ahead of – no, I wouldn't. I'd play Bostock ahead of Furmore. I'd chase that upside. Strange, not overly keen on. Not overly keen on Levi. Hutchison against a pretty ordinary Bunnies outfit so far this season, probably be my third pick. Tree loppers are back. Yeah, good. Question from Andrew. Would you cop Taumalolo's score for another week or trade him to someone? If so, whom, assuming you already have Terrell May, under 350K preferably, cut ties. Cut ties and never look back. That's what I've done. Look, if Cotter was out, it'd help Taumalolo, but, oh, seriously, I just have no faith in him getting any decent minutes. Sure, there's this this degenerative knee thing going on or whatever. And I do feel obviously for Lolo with that, but something stinks up there. You know, it sounds like they want him out of the club, and I don't like anything I'm hearing going on there. So I'm not confident he'll get minutes at all, regardless of scoreline and early restings and all that sort of stuff. Under 350K, two good options. Josh Kerr at the Dolphins, 349K, so fits that criteria for you. Offloading ability, bit of attacking upside, looks likely to get sort of hopefully 40 to 45 minutes at the Dolphins. I actually prefer Liam Henry, though, at the Panthers. With Fisher-Harris out, Henry played 42 minutes last week with 55 in base. That's absurd. It's making me want to buy him as well. Negative two break even. You know, you can. He looks very playable, at least while Fisher-Harris is out. So I think at 287K, Liam Henry's probably the option there. Hayden Moore. Morning. I'm in a trade pickle. Out of these four players, what three would you trade in? Appy, Galvin, Young, Hammer. I think it's got to be Galvin. About to make an absolute ton of cash. Bottom dollar in a pretty tough 5-8 slot for us this season as well. So, yeah, look, Lockie Galvin, what's his break even? Break even negative 62. He can go out and, you know, do his ankle in the first minute, score a point, still earn a ton of cash. So let's hope that doesn't happen and haven't put any mockers on him. But, yep, Lockie Galvin, I think he's pretty close to a must-have this week, seriously. Guys and girls, Easter weekend, you're heading away, you're getting a bit excited, got a bit of play money ready for your holidays, been saving up for a while, 8 games of footy, very exciting times. You might be sitting there at the local bolo, having a little dabble on Keno, having a dabble on the footy and having a punt. All good and well, all good and fun, as long as you're in control. But unfortunately, it can be quite easy to get out of control when you are having a punt, guys, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's happened to plenty of. It's happened to me in the past. I certainly know I've woken up of a Monday morning at times and gone, mate, you're an idiot. You've bet sort of outside of your means. And you really have to rein it in. So, guys, if you think that's you and you do spend a bit too much on the punt, you see it creeping into your life, your relationships, the stress coming in off the back of it, it doesn't have to be that way. So reach out to Gareth and his team at Seacal. And get a bit of help from them. Absolute legend of a fella, Sharky's diehard, Supercoach diehard. To do so and to get in contact with a great team, it is free and confidential. You can email him at gareth.w@seacal.org.au. That's Seacal, C-E-C-A-L. You can give the guys a buzz at 02-9559-4013 or flick them a message on Instagram, probably the easiest, at Seacal Gambling. I know already over the past sort of 12 or so months since we've teamed up with Gareth and his team, there's been a lot of SC Playbook listeners reach out to them so far. They've absolutely come back with basically 100% feedback saying they wish they'd done it earlier and not listened to this message for 6 months, for 8 months, for 10 months, because it could have saved them a bit of money, a bit of stress, and all of that. So, guys, get in touch today if you think you might be in that boat. Question from Perko. Great man, Perko. Morning, Tim. Another cracking start to you boys and the crew and, of course, Clementine. Thank you, mate. Wish my Supercoach side was doing a bit better, but we're shaping up okay. Just need the rank to go the same way. How rogue is selling both Cleary and Hines this week? The fact that we are, three rounds into the comp and that's been mentioned, it just makes you feel sick in the stomach. But not that rogue. You've gone on to say with Dom Young and Val Holmes / RTS on the cards, trying to balance cash generation and points. My concern with it is I still think by a country mile that Hines and Cleary are going to be the best halfbacks in Supercoach this season. I get the cash generation approach and focusing on that, but you're going to want them both back in your team sooner rather than later. Whether, you know, certainly that'll probably be a bottomed out Nico Hines and you get him at a discount. But look, he's been the top scorer for 2 seasons in a row, Nico Hines. He dropped 100K last week. Big-ish break even this week. So there's probably going to be more cash drop to come, break even of 121. But, you know, Nico's hit tons for fun the last 2 years. I just think it's going to cost 2 more. So it's a trade to get him out and then another 2 trades to get Nico back in, Cleary back in. I can see your thinking, but I think if you're not a Cleary owner and you own Hines, I can see merit in doing so. But if you own them both, I don't know, it seems like a long way around for two very proven players of the game. Cleary a sell for me, and I think probably for most people out there, but I'll be holding on to Nicho Hynes. Question from Jeff, last reserve out of Arthurs, Bostock and Hutcho. Bostock for me, just on Jesse Arthurs. Loppers are back, sweet. It's not quite panning out for Jesse Arthurs through no fault of his own. He's doing really well. Just the blokes going down around him. Reece Walsh is the big one. So 48 in Vegas, that down-dated from like 60. I know I've cried and moaned about it for about 3 weeks because he did the same, dropped from 70 to 57 in down-dates against the Bunnies. 45 against Penrith, fine result. I was actually so happy with that, had that runaway try. Just Walsh out hurt, it really does, because such a big appeal of him was getting some, you know, the quality ball, the quality cutouts from him. I'm happy to own, but, you know, pass Payne Haas out, lose a lot of momentum through the middle of the Broncos. The draw remains pretty tough. Cowboys this week into Melbourne. The softer draw starts after that with Dolphins, Raiders, Tigers. So, look, I'm just going to hold strong for a while, but playing him in 17 certainly becomes risky. So I think Bostock for me out of those guys. Question from Riley. Hey, mate, is it worth going Lussick to Coruscant this week while also having Marshall King? I think it is. I do. The Spy doesn't. Had a good chat about it on the podcast on the weekend. I just am not convinced with Lussick. I think, when I say I'm not convinced with Lussick, he's got a break even of zero. You know, there's more money incoming and he's playing 80 minutes. So absolutely fine. It's just, it's incredible how quickly the Supercoach landscape can change. Last week, he looked like almost a must buy. I held on to Levi, which is all fine. You know, he didn't get his attacking stats, played 80 minutes and scored 37 points, based 33. The Spy tried to spin that as a positive thing and happy days, but the 82 against Penrith is about to drop out of his three-round rolling average. If he doesn't get attacking stats this week and he bases his 35, whatever it might be, he gets about 35 points. Now, he might get attack, but I look, Coruscant's got a lower break-even. He's going to make probably more money than him. So, and he's also got a 105 in his rolling average, a good draw to come, Parramatta, Dolphins, Dragons, and he could be a keeper. So, and you also don't really want to play Lussick in your 17. It's not the end of the world if you do. An 80-minute hooker, you're not going to go too far wrong, but Api Coruscant, you can play in your 17 with an upside of 100-plus as we saw last week. So, look, I think it's a tough this week because there are so many pressing issues with injuries and whatnot, and Lussick is in no way a pressing issue for your team, but I just don't mind the play, and you can have two strong hookers. Happy days. Question from Jamo. VC Turbo and Captain RTS. I don't mind it. I really don't. I'm not doing it. I'm going to Captain Tommy Turbo just because I think he looks exceptional and could explode against the Dragons. Just the Knights' defence is certainly better than the Dragons, although they're a bit weak to weak at the moment, the old Knighties. I think RTS is such a good prospect this week at fullback. I did see a mention in the SC Playbook WhatsApp late mail chat about apparently, what's his face, Charles Nicol-Cookstad coming back potentially next week, which is fine because we're talking about captains this week. Not great for Tane Torpicki. Torpicki, obviously missing with the concussion this week. Was really hoping he'd come back and get one more game next week at fullback, a low break even to make some more cash, but not ideal for him. Roger, captaincy, he's going to have a million runs. I reckon he has 25-plus runs in this game. Warriors are looking good. I think he's a really serious captaincy play. A lot of questions on Taumalolo and saying, you know, can he wait another week? He can, and I think it's going to be boosted by a few factors. Firstly, they're still doubt around Cotter and his ankle. Look, he'll probably be good to go, but if he does have an ankle complaint, potentially he plays some less minutes. Taumalolo is going to be rested. He played like 20 minutes or something last week again. You know, I struggle to see this Broncos-Cowboys game not being tight. So I think Taumalolo plays bigger minutes. He might get 35 to 40 and he can score 40. So, look, I know I said a bit earlier that I do think it's a cut and run, but, you know, if there's other pressing trades, the reality is that I think most people out there are running one pretty weak front row forward at the moment. A lot will have two decent enough ones by now, but I know I, for one, still want to sort of have a bit of a look at other front rowers. And while I am trading Taumalolo this week, I'm playing Palacia just to see to work out other more pressing trades this week, see what sort of minutes Palacia plays with Tenefsu Malawi out, 60 minutes to go around, 60-plus in the middle for the Titans. Look, I do think Palacia's going to be a sell next week regardless, but I'm happy just to do it. So, look, it's the same logic with Taumalolo that he probably doesn't score great, but if you can focus on other trades this week and need to hold Taumalolo, if you can hold Taumalolo and not play him and you've got someone half decent there, I know a lot of running like Sammy Hughes and Paiso Faumasili, obviously they're both avoids in playing, but, you know, it's 1 week. If he scores 20 or 30, what, probably cost you 15, 20 max by not getting in another front rower. So, look, it's not a – you can hold him for a week if you need to. One from Drewy says, morning, mate. Looking forward to a glorious long weekend filled with a few nice cold beers, a chalky egg or two, and some good old-fashioned rugby league. Bloody oath. Not a team advice question as such this week, but I was wondering if there was any retired players you'd love to bring into your Supercoach side. Who would it be and why? Cheers, legend, and have a great Easter weekend. Likewise, Drewy. A few of my favourites across the years that were absolute staples of my team are no secret in saying that I was always a big David Stagg fan. I just used to love, I was a little runt growing up, still am to be fair, but I used to just admire little blokes that would throw their weight around at NRL level and sort of, you know, just be a shining light for little fellas out there and say, no, it doesn't matter if you're not that big. You know, you can still make the NRL level and whatnot. And for David Stagg to do that, not a big fella, obviously, at all, and do it in the middle and make 50, 60-plus tackles a game and hardly miss one, I still love David Stagg. And he was also a great Supercoach player to boot. A few others in there. Anthony Lafranchi, he was great at the Titans in his day, an absolute workhorse. Liam Fulton at the Tigers, back when Supercoach was very rewarding for big base stat forwards, like front rowers, second rowers, they used to be the big dogs in Supercoach. Like Paul Gallen was an absolute superstar in Supercoach in his peak because he'd have 25 runs a game and make 50 tackles, and that was all rewarded accordingly. I remember earlier days, like backs, tries weren't worth as much, try assists weren't worth as much. So it was a very different landscape. So it used to be a story of all the forwards. I'd love to have seen someone like Mau Meninga or Eric Groth, just these big, strong, tackle-busting outside backs playing Supercoach and what their scores would have moved to. Big Artie Beats and a big offloader. Yeah, a few that come to mind that I think would have been great.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Question from David. Hold Piakura or Torpiki? So obviously Torpiki may not play again, but Piakura out for 4 weeks. So thinking the extra cash may come in handy over the next couple of weeks. I have them both as well. And look, I'd look to sell Piakura first. Look, of course, whoever you want to trade in and how your team's set up, it'll be different for all. They're probably both sells, but I think Piakura first for sure. As you mentioned, he's out for a while. If Chance doesn't return next week and Torpiki comes in and plays fullback, you know, you're getting one more straight up decent cash rise out of him. If you end up holding Torpiki for a week or two and something happens to Chance and Torpiki finds himself back at fullback, he could be 500k in a flash. I know that's very optimistic thinking. And I do think Torpiki's a trade, but as I've said a few times, Supercoach can trade, the Supercoach landscape can change very quickly. So of those guys, like, you know, Piakura is out for a month. Torpiki could play next week. So yeah, I'd be selling Pete Kura first. A few questions floating around Samuel Finer, and then there's a question conveniently from Samuel asking, who do you rate more as a money-making buy this week, Finer or Kerr? We haven't spoken that much across certainly the podcast I've been on this week about Finu. I'm not that keen on him. Reason number one being that, as I keep saying, there's just so many good buys this week. So on any other given week where there weren't great buys and you saw Finu with a negative 32 break even at 263K, you go, yeah, absolutely lock and load. My concerns are that he played 46 minutes on the weekend, which is fine, but he's not bottom dollar either. He scored 33 points, 31 in base. The week before he scored the try, had a line break in 58 minutes, much better, but you know, boosted by attack. 45 in base that week, first game for the Tigers, point to prove. Now, if he goes back this week, firstly, and just scores 30 to 40, he makes some good cash this week, and then that break even skyrockets because the 75 will drop out of it. His numbers, like, they're not that appealing in that he had 14 tackles last week. He had 11 runs, which is pretty good in that game time. The week before, in that extended game time, he had 7 runs, which is not great. He's busted just 2 tackles in 2 games, no offloads. So, yeah, look, there'll be money there, but he's, you know, only available at second row. I'm not overly keen on Finu. Look, if anything happened to like one of the edge back rowers and he ended up being a big minute edge or something like that, he'd be great. But as it stands, you've got John Bateman and Isaiah Papali'i, who are both 80 minute edges. Bato get his 80 last week. You finish up on. So yeah, I just don't think the minutes are probably there for Finu yet. Bateman played 80. So not for me. Josh Kerr, I think because you can slot Josh Kerr in that front row forward slot where he becomes playable, it's a troublesome position for most. I prefer Josh Kerr as the buy there. Question from Jason Corbett. In terms of managing the amount of trades we have, is there a certain amount we want to have left by certain rounds, e.g. 30 left by round 13? It's my first time playing and I've been quick to trade out injured or underperforming players and I get the feeling I've used too many trades early. Cheers. Look, there's no perfect formula to doing it, mate. There's no correct answer to this. It's up to personal preference and how you manage it. The way that I play Supercoach, and I think probably the majority of experienced players do it, is that there's no harm in trading early because, you know, you get that opportunity to get these guys with low break evens and build cash value in your team. That allows us by around 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 to get guns into our team, have a really strong 17 and set our squad up for the rest of the season with this early sort of relatively aggressive trade strategies. You know, especially when there's a lot of great buys on offer, which there is, coupled with a lot of injuries that are occurring that are forcing trades, you know, you're making these trades because you don't want guys stagnant on your bench for a month and doing nothing and not scoring for you or earning cash. So there's nothing wrong with this aggressive early trading. The time will come to save trades. That will often be, you know, once this first month is over and things sort of begin to settle a little bit, you've got a few extra guns in your team and you've got a stronger 17 and you're happy with your weekly scoring. So, yeah, look, as I said, mate, there's no right or wrong answer, but there's nothing wrong with going hard early, particularly with the way this season has played out. So don't stress if you think you've burnt through a few too many so far. All righty, a few rapid fires, then I'll get to my plans for the week. Question from Zach. Would you prefer hold Cleary, play Bostock and KPP, sell Cleary, play Hammer and Burbo? I mean, if it's as simple as that, the way you've put it, we're not taking in other factors, hold Cleary, because I think with the matchup for Bostock, he can score well. KPP, 80 minutes for the Knights, happy days, he can score well. Hammer could go nuts against the Titans, also has a 20 in him, and Burbo played 60 minutes last week. So on just what you've said there, option A. But I do think Cleary is a sell. Question from Michael Campton. With everyone focusing on CT dubs and plaguing injuries, is it time to target some forgotten 2RF and front row forward superpods like IPAP, Bateman, Madison, Hopgood, Tarpany, Homole, Nicara, Murray, or even early on Fifita? Zig while everyone zags. I'm happy with my CT dubs and like everyone have weaker 2RFs. Good question. My issue with... Yeah, look, I don't mind it. If you said you're happy with your CT dubs and you don't really need to do work there, strengthen your teammate. You can get some of these players. I do think, though, that guys like, you know, Tuivasa Sheck, Dom Young, blokes with these lower break-evens who are set to inject some cash really quickly, it's an opportunity to make this quick cash. So, like, you know, some of the guys you mentioned there look like really nice buys. Like, I like IPAP. I like Homole Olakau'atu. I think he's still in for such a big year. But, I mean, you even look at Ola. He's got a break-even of 110. Dave Fifita, if he does come in and play, sure, he could kill it and score well, but his price isn't changing. Whereas, you know, guys like Young and blokes with negative break-evens, they've got money incoming. So you can cash that money, whereas, you know, even if some of them 2RFs have lowish break-evens, they might make a little bit of coin. They might knock out their 60 or 70. It's, you know, you're zigging while everyone's zagging, but I just don't know what, if there's enough reward for it. Maybe one of them, sure, but I wouldn't be going too hard in filling up my 2RF from front row forward. I do think at the moment the spots to target, like I had a stat on the potty the other night, I think it was 15 players at centre wing are averaging 70 plus for the season. So they're absolutely firing. So I think take that cash there early, maybe one of the 2RF guns, but I wouldn't be doing too many. Question from Delhi. Mate, you got to get a win to shut the Roo up. You're not wrong. He's had a big week last week, the old Roo. Bring in Dom Young. Need to drop one of the following. Torpicky, Salmon, Furmore, Piakura. Cheers. Piakura, gone for a month. Easy. Question from Kirsty Brody. How on earth do I avert my eyes from sexy outside backs and fix my front row? Kirsty, you're asking the wrong person because I can't do it either. I'm running Palacia as my second front row forward this week and I feel disgusting. Currently running May and Hughes, but Val Holmes is over there flashing his 140 plus and I just want to stack my backs. Yep, I get it. Look, if you've got, you know, Hughes probably comes out and gets his 25. If he can get a couple of extra minutes, maybe 30, but so far this season, it's probably optimistic. So many questions about Val Holmes. As I said, he's got a break even of 50. Brisbane are a very good side. Even with players out, they're still a good football team. So, look, if Val comes out and gets 80 or 90, he's still not making that much cash. I don't know what the exact number is. What's the Supercoach site got him projected to do? Like, you can wait on Val Holmes a week. So I'm not saying he's not a good buy this week because he is. Supercoach site's got him projected to score 95. If he can score 95 on the defending premier, grand finalists, he'll got $48,000. That's if he can. He could also score 50 and make bugger all money or stay even. So Val's not a must this week. People think because of that score last week he is. What will happen when the 54 from round two against the Knights drops out? The 144 will be in there for another week. If he scores this well against Brisbane, there'll be a ton of money incoming, but it can wait a week, so it's not a must. Guys, I have to get into my trades for the week. And as it stands, they have not altered from the podcast on Tuesday night, I don't think, which is a bit of a rarity because there's normally movement. I am boosting. As it stands, I'm going Taumalolo to Dylan Brown via a heap of jewels. I'm going Api Koroisau in for Danny Levi out and Lockie Galvin in, Nathan Cleary out. Galvin speaks for himself. Koroisau, I've said a lot about him. I think he's a great buy, potentially a season keeper. I do think the Tigers and Api will come back to the pack. I think Harry Grant will be the number one hooker this season, but I like Api Koroisau this week. Money incoming at the very worst case. Dill Brown, it's one of them gut feel ones. Like, he certainly hasn't set the world alight this season. I've been happy not to own him to start the season because he's gone under his value. break even of a tick over 100, 736K. I like the Tigers matchup. Then he goes Raiders, Cowboys in Sydney, Dolphins. He's got some good matchups to come. I just think that with Moses out, he's going to come into his own. Dill Brown, I think he's in for a big month or two with Cleary out. The other thing is I am not a Hutchison owner, which I'm more than happy to not be an owner, but if I'm not buying Brown, I don't really have anyone to get at halfback. I've got Brooks who's in my 5-8 slot at the moment. So if I trade Cleary out, Brooks goes up to half, then I have to run one of Galvin or Strange at 5-8 for the foreseeable future, which, you know, it's not disastrous, but it's also not ideal, like especially in a side running Palacia at front row. Jeez, it'd be make my life good if Palacia could come out and knock out a 50 this week. I'd probably take a 40, actually. I definitely would take a 40. So, yeah, they are my trades for this week. The only one I'd potentially alter on is Dylan Brown, but I think I'm going to back him in for a big Easter Monday outing. Cherry Picker has returned. The Loppers are back. Sit V start. CT Dubs, I'm playing Hammer, Tuivasa-Sheck, Talon May, Jack Bostock. I'm not playing Jesse Arthurs. I would have played him probably if Walsh was in, but not without him. Torpicky obviously out. Not playing Ethan Strange. Not playing Lockie Galvin. Chan on the bye. Piakura I still own. So between him, Farmasili, Hughes, they sort of pick themselves. So my bench will be Coruscant, Ponga, Hines, and Benny Trbojevic. I'm not thrilled about Benny, but I'm not also that worried. I've actually seen people selling him. Look, he played 60 minutes last week. Comes up against the Dragons. He's every chance to add some attack to his score this week. Output quite poor last week. He's also, look, he could play 80 on any given week. But I also think he's one in-game injury from Manly away from playing 80 because he can cover so many positions and different sort of things. So, yeah, look, I'm actually relatively content playing Benny Trbojevic there this week. Captains, vice-captain Talon May, unlikely to be using that. I do have Tommy Turbo as my skipper, though, in the fourth game of the round, and a lot of my other high upside options play later in the round. So, yeah, lock and load Tommy Turbo. Guys, that's a wrap for the question and answer podcast this week. A bit longer, 40 minutes. Happy days. Guys, have a ripping Easter. Enjoy NRL Round 4. Good luck to your Supercoach sides. Cheers.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.